Hi there. God's greatest act of the ages was when he raised Jesus from the dead, because the resurrection of Jesus Christ is crucial to the plan of salvation, as it is written. If Christ be not risen from the dead, then we are yet in our sins, and of all men the most miserable. For without his resurrection, Christianity is worthless. And who were the first messengers to testify of this most important event of the ages? Was it the disciples? No. Was it the greatest man born of woman, John the Baptist? No. Women were the first messengers to testify of the most important event of all time, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, on which our salvation depends. Furthermore, did you know that the promise of a Savior was made to the woman first in the Garden of Eden? Nevertheless, one issue that has arched many an eyebrow in this 20th century is the issue of women being ordained into the ministry. For today, like never before, mainline denominations are ordaining women into the ministry in unprecedented numbers. And if you were like me the first time you heard of women being ordained into the ministry, it sounded like some sort of freak of nature. Nevertheless, what saith the Scriptures? Does the Scriptures approve of females holding ministerial positions in the church? I'm James Warden, and this is Have You Heard the Good News? There has arisen no small controversy in this century concerning the ordination of women into the ministry. It's such a novel thing that the media even considers it newsworthy. And you'll find that most believers are very opinionated about women in the ministry. And strangely enough, whether they support or oppose women in the ministry, they will quote the Apostle Paul's scriptures to vindicate their claims. Now, Peter knew this would be, and he told us, warning us, saying that our beloved brother Paul wrote some things in his epistles which are hard to be understood, and those who are unlearned and unstable will wrestle them, as they do also the other scriptures, to their own destruction. That's found in Peter's book. Because the only way you can have the mind of Christ on this matter is by comparing scriptures with scripture. For the scripture interprets themselves and reveals the mind of Christ to us. Many believers are persuaded that Paul was hostile toward the thought of women occupying a ministerial office in the church. And by casual observations of his writings, without correlating them with other scriptures, it would be very easy to be led down that road of error. So recall that Paul wrote in Galatians 3:28, that in Christ there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Paul makes this very plain, that in Christ Jesus there is neither male nor female. Therefore, our gender of sex is not an issue. For in Christ, males do not rank above females, neither are females preferred above males. For we are all created equal in Christ Jesus by the new birth. Remember that when we received Christ Jesus into our hearts by faith, we entered into the new covenant. And John 1:12 states that as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to as many as believed upon his name. In the sight of God, any man or woman who receives Jesus as their Savior, God no longer sees them as a mere man or woman. For this is a whosoever will gospel. And anyone, regardless of their sex, whosoever they may be, anyone who accepts Jesus as their Savior, God no longer sees them as a male or female. But he sees them as sons of God. Not sons and daughters, but sons of God by the new birth, when God's Son was born into their hearts by faith as the hidden man of the heart, as Christ in us, our hope of glory. So when females accept Christ as their Savior, God no longer sees them as female, but he regards them as his sons, just as much of a son of God as Jesus Christ was. No more and no less. We are all joint heirs with Christ in sonship unto God. For whosoever believes in Jesus is given power to become a son of God, not a daughter, but a son. Because only males born in the tribe of Levi in the Old Testament could participate in the priesthood as a pattern of our new covenant priesthood. For we are born into the family of God as sons of God into a royal priesthood. And no females were allowed to officiate in the office of priesthood under the past or present dispensations. But by the new birth, God gave females along with males the right to be called sons of God. For as sons of God, we are officiating with Jesus Christ in the eternal priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. Because Revelations 1:6 declares that all believers are classified as kings and priests unto God. Not as queens and priestesses, if there be such a word, but we are classified as kings and priests unto God through sonship granted unto us by our new birth, when the man Christ Jesus was born into our hearts by faith. So since the cross, God makes no distinction of believers based on gender or sex. God makes his distinction based upon the new birth, and not whether a person is male or female in the flesh. For the scripture tells us that we are to have no confidence in the flesh. Philippians 3:3. For in Christ there is neither Jew nor completed Jew nor Greek, neither is there male nor female nor bond or free, but all are one in Christ Jesus. Now that covered race, sex, social status. It all has been done away with in the body of Christ. True Christianity did more for the suffrage of women than any religion has in this world. For there isn't a religion in this world that will give as much to one as it will to another without respect of persons. Because the true and the living God is no respecter of persons, be ye male or female, God is not impressed with one more than the other. So by being a male according to the flesh, it earns no brownie points with God. For God accepts no one's person, and since he does not accept anyone's person, God does not discriminate against women in the ministry, because he says he's no respecter of persons. And to exclude someone in Christ on the basis of their gender or sex would be to have respect of persons, and the Bible says that to have respect of persons is not good. And neither God nor Paul are respecter of persons. Those who wish to believe that Paul was hostile toward the thought of women in the ministry, they do so on their own accord, because Paul stated emphatically that in the body of Christ there is neither male nor female. And those who wish to ignore that in Christ Jesus there is neither male nor female, they usually do this to segregate women from the ministry. And they are quick to quote Paul's statement in 1 Timothy 2:12, where Paul says, "I suffer not a woman to teach." And they will not compare Scripture with Scripture to get the whole counsel of God on this matter, but they will try to establish a doctrine forbidding women to teach the saints. And this has been a tragic error in the body of Christ, for God has not given the spirit of the revelation of his word to men exclusively, for he is no respecter of persons. He has given women the self-same mind of Christ that will reveal the word of God to them as it will to any man. Nevertheless, they are very quick to quote that "I suffer not a woman to teach." But they are not as quick to quote the scripture found in 1 John, which says that you need not that any man teach you, for you have an unction from the Holy One and know all things. They dare not be as dogmatic about that scripture as they want to be about the one which says, "I suffer not a woman to teach." Let us remember that Jesus Christ said that the scriptures cannot be broken. In other words, they cannot contradict or violate one another. For this is the word of truth, and there is no contradiction in the truth. Now Paul said, "I suffer not a woman to teach." Now, if we took this statement literally, he would be contradicting himself, because he told Titus to tell the aged women to teach the young women to be alert and to teach them how to love their husbands and their children and to be discreet and chaste, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Paul told Titus to have the aged women teach the younger women in 8 subjects. So if Paul literally meant that he suffered not a woman to teach, then he's a hypocrite and a liar, because he gives the okay for women to teach women in the book of Titus. We must compare scripture with scripture to spiritually discern what Paul meant when he wrote, "I suffer not a woman to teach." Notice, Paul didn't say, "I suffer not women to teach." He didn't say that. Paul said, "I suffer not a woman to teach." And as a matter of fact, our Lord Jesus Christ rebuked a church who suffered this self-same woman to teach. And the word "suffer" is the key word comparison, because both Paul and Jesus used the phrase "suffer to teach" when they spoke concerning this. Paul said, "I suffer not a woman to teach." And Jesus said that he had somewhat against the church of Thyatira, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel to teach. Now, when Jesus speaks of that woman Jezebel, he's not speaking of a literal woman whose name was Jezebel, who was teaching in that church. Here, Jesus recalls what he abhorred in the whoredoms of Jezebel the queen in the Old Testament, found in 2 Kings 9:22. She seduced Israel by taking their love and worship of God, the true and the living God, and giving it unto idols. And in God's sight, that is spiritual whoredom from the mother of harlots, mentioned in the book of Revelation as Jezebel, who sits as a queen, Revelation 18:7. And any man or woman who is seducing the saints to turn their love and worship from God into vain religiosity or religious practices, which has a form of godliness but has no power to save souls, they are affected by this spirit of Jezebel. And Paul, who was laden with the cares of the churches, he rebuked that spirit of religiosity, and Jesus Christ had no tolerance for it in the church of Thyatira either. And Paul was zealous in looking diligently after the flock of God, so that this spirit of Jezebel, which allures believers from worshiping the true God, might be silenced, for it is the spirit of seduction. And be not deceived, this spirit of Jezebel can come through a man as well as a woman, for anyone who teaches the saints anything which turns their worship from God into vain religiosity, then they are of this spirit of Jezebel, and Jesus Christ has somewhat against them, and Paul would not tolerate that woman or that spirit of Jezebel to be taught among the churches. And Paul would not allow that spirit of that woman Jezebel to usurp the authority over the man. What man? The man Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is to have the preeminence in the church, not the spirit of that woman Jezebel, which is a spirit of religiosity. Remember, Paul did not say, "I don't suffer women to teach, nor to usurp authority over men," because any woman who sees a man out of line by the word of God, they are instructed and have the responsibility to rebuke them by the word of God. Paul says, "I don't suffer a woman to teach," speaking of that spirit of the woman Jezebel that Jesus Christ would not allow to be taught in the church of Thyatira. He says, "I don't suffer a woman to teach, nor to usurp the authority of the man." What man? He didn't say men, but man as in one, singular. He did not allow that spirit of Jezebel, which was the woman, to usurp the authority over the man, Christ Jesus, because Jesus is to have the preeminence in the church, and his authority should not be usurped by that woman, Jezebel, which is the spirit of religiosity. Another reason why we know that Paul did not have anything against women teaching the rightly divided word is because he admired Timothy's mother and grandmother, who taught Timothy the scriptures. So let us remember that there is neither male nor female in Christ Jesus, only sons of God by the new birth. For our outward creation, the flesh, is never a man of God, no matter if you've experienced the new birth or not. Our outer man, which perishes, is of this earth earthy, and he is not born of the Spirit nor the Word of God. He is born of the will of the flesh, and he is flesh and blood, which cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. He is not a man of God. So, since in Christ Jesus there is neither male nor female, then the only man of God that is in the world today is the hidden man of the heart in believers, regardless if they're a male or a female. And when he is born into our hearts, we are considered babes in Christ. But as this new creation feeds upon the Word of God, he grows in grace until he matures into a man of God. For the only man of God that is in the world today is the inward man of our heart, the man Christ Jesus. He's Christ in you, your hope of glory. And by his birth into your heart, you received the adoption of sons, Galatians 4:5. Not of daughters, but sons. For we are sons of God by the operation of the new birth. This is part one of our series of Does the Scriptures Permit Women in the Ministry? I'm James Warden, and this is Have You Heard the Good News?